Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
Bit by bit, folks are returning prairie grass to the prairie state. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field from Illinois State University's School of Biological Sciences. His name is Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura Kennedy.
Today on GLT's Grow, we're going to have a question from Kevin in Hudson, Illinois. He says he recently drove by the Illinois State University Horticulture Center on Rab Road, and he noticed 8-foot-tall grass growing near the road. And he's read about the original Illinois prairie grass was taller than a horse's head, which is pretty darn tall, and he always thought it would be fun to grow. But what's the correct name, and where can he purchase it? So he would like to bring the prairie back to the prairie.
Great question. Great observation, Kevin. And I want everybody to know that ISU Horticulture Center is something of a treasure.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all need to go out there and take a look. Most of the work is done by students
and
here
volunteers
at Illinois State University, and a fair share of it's done by volunteers, local volunteers, including Extension Master Gardeners and Master Naturalists, alumni. A great feature here at Illinois State University, which also features some prairie grasses out there.
They're beautiful. I drove by and was looking at them too.
And those tallest ones right now kind of have a pinkish fall color and this very, very ornamental seed head. And Dr. John Sedbrook here at Illinois State University is using those for his research. That's a stand of plants for his research.
What are they called?
It's miscanthus. It's a type of miscanthus. And I guess that's the bad news because that's really not a tall grass prairie plant.
Oh, really?
It's not really a native, but I have some to offer for Kevin's question and his inquiry. But I think it is important to visualize what the prairie was like, right?
And was it really taller than a horse's head?
I think that it was, and it was for this reason. So Hennepin was a clergyman, and Hennepin Canal, that's the same guy. Mm-hmm. And in the late 1600s, he was here in Illinois, and he witnessed Miami Indians hunting buffalo. They had to burn the grass to funnel the buffalo into avenues where they could be slain for consumption. And without the tall grass, the buffalo could not be seen readily. Mm-hmm. And the Miamis were not all on horsebacks. Most of them were on foot on the ground with spears and bow and arrows, clubs, rocks, etc. And there's one common thread to our prairie and all the little Midwestern states that made up the great tall grass prairie, and that's the existence of tall grasses. Mm-hmm. And as far as Kevin's question goes, I have some tall prairie grasses that are native that would have been seen in our prairie. And I've selected some that are rather easy to propagate from seed.
Okay, so what are they?
They are Big Blue Stem.
Oh, I like that name. Is it bluish?
It is bluish. And
they have stems.
And they have stems, and it's a very vertical in its appearance. And it's not as tall as some of the ones that are later into the list, but we also have Side Oats Grandma.
Run that by me again?
Yeah, Side Oats.
Side
Grandma.
Oats. Grandma.
G-R-A-M-A, not grandma, not grandmother, grandma, grandma.
Okay.
And then we have Canadian Wild Rye. This is a pretty good-sized grass. This is 4 to 5 feet tall. And then we have switchgrass and Indian grass. So the later ones on the list, the wild rye, the switchgrass, and Indian grass are easy to propagate from seed. And they're these taller grasses that made up the prairie. And this vast grassland had the commonality of tall grass plants in it, but the actual prairie changed a little bit from state to state.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, growing prairie grass. And those are some really good suggestions.
Well, and another
Kevin
good thing about these, Laura and Kevin, is you can buy them in a plug form. You can buy them in a plant that's ready to be put in the ground with its own
roots
in
the
pot.
So you don't have to start from seed?
You don't have to.
Okay.
You don't have to.
If you're impatient.
That's right. Or if you've got some money to throw at your project, that's a good combination. Have plants and seeds.
Are they expensive to buy as pre-plants, as it were?
Well, I think if you get like a quart to a gallon, they're all about the same price. When it comes to hard-to-find natives, you sometimes have to pay a little more for those because they're not raised in mass by commercial growers, like other plants are raised by all different kinds of people. A lot of the native prairie plants are raised by specialty growers. Possibilities Place Nursery in Moni, Illinois has these plants in ready-to-plant form. And I've dealt with that nursery on and off in my entire career.
Uh-huh.
Great place for natives. But Laura, can we talk more about the Great Prairie?
Mm-hmm.
The remnants of this great prairie, this tall grass prairie, exist in Oklahoma around the Flint Hills and the Great Kanza Prairie in Kansas. So that's eastern Kansas into northern central Kansas. Hutchinson, Kansas, Fort Riley, Kansas, Manhattan, Kansas are great landmarks to kind of understand where these are. And as the prairie migrated from state to state and region to region, the only thing that was consistent was the presence of these tall grasses. So some of the other plants were mixed in there with it, as well as some of our native trees. And it kind of changed as you went from state to state.
Uh-huh, sure.
And these prairies created one humongous complex of grassland. It was like a biome. And biome's kind of a word for a culture that grows where all of these plants fit in nicely. And there are many, many efforts similar to Kevin's to capture these plants and return them to the landscape and restore some of our native grasslands.
Okay, but that leads me to the question of, unless you've got like 40 acres out in a rural area and you could just throw a bunch of prairie plants out there, dealing with tall grasses might be kind of tough. So what advice do you have for Kevin for utilizing these in a regular yard style landscape?
Well, grow requires us to honor the corporate lords and say, first, you got to make a plan.
Yeah.
You got to make a plan and a map of some kind that has, where your sun's coming from. Are there trees? Are there other buildings out there? Plan where you can put these plants so that they're getting maximum sun, full sun, no shade.
So like nowhere against against a building where they might get some shade or a tree that's a couple feet away they might get a couple of hours shade. That's no go.
South and west side of a building are okay because they get the greatest amount of sun exposure and they have the less amount of shadow cast from the structure or the tree. So
right.
You can do that.
Yep.
But I'm kind of leading Kevin and everybody down a path here because if you have a plan and you have a firm understanding of the dimensions of your plot, you might be able to find these linear gardens or gardens that fan out. So they're narrow in the front near where the people are, and they fan out in the back to create the illusion of distance and space.
Right.
And you can incorporate these plants in a combination or in colonized layers as you might see them in the wild. And you could create these features, but seed bed preparation, planting dates, these are all important, and so too is the use of fire.
Fire?
So fire is what kept this prairie going and spreading, along with all the buffalo and wild livestock, if you will, that were grazing there and relieving themselves as they grazed.
Gotcha.
So much of this prairie is gone, but it is now in the form of some of the world's most productive cropland.
That's true. So rather than having grass, we have soybeans. Or corn here in Illinois.
A monoculture has replaced a lot of that prairie space, and I think that's a good way of putting it. And the fire was important. It was set by the Indians and lightning.
And lightning to help control the growth and let it rebirth, as it were.
That's right, Laura.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you so much, Kevin, for your question. Next week on GLT's Grow, wrangling raspberry bushes. If you've got a gardening question or some kind of problem that you'd like Murph to tackle, go to our website. It's wglt.org/grow. There's a form there you can send along to us and send us a photo too if you like. Maybe Murph will answer your question on the air on an upcoming edition of Grow. Just submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.